The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I got a trivia question for you.
What
deadlifts 880 pounds, bench presses 650 pounds, can squat 950 pounds, and can overhead press 490 pounds? Here's your three choices.
A mythical centaur.
Here's your three choices. A polar bear.
Yeah.
The Incredible Hulk.
A rhinoceros. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or Robert Oberst. Which one do you think?
I'm going Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. Which one do you
think? For 5,000 there.
Wrong. Adam, what's your choice?
I think the polar bear.
Both wrong. Actually, that's what Justin said, and you said it too when you knew he was wrong. You're a terrible test taker.
No.
It's actually Robert Oberst, the human Sasquatch. He's a massive human being.
But less hairy.
Super nice
somewhat.
Guy, too. We met him.
He's awesome.
We were in L.A. podcasting, and I always forget that people are that can be that big.
Yeah.
Fucking huge.
There's not a lot of men that make me feel like a little child, you know, next to it. And
he literally picked you up and rocked you.
He did.
Like a baby.
Yes. He picked you up like a little child.
Like a baby.
You know what sucks about a guy that big?
If he wanted to rape you, you couldn't do anything about
totally.
It.
Totally. Like, I feel
that's
like...
That's the first thing you think of.
I feel like...
when he scooped me up, that's what I thought. I thought, oh, God, he either wants to eat me or either wants to rape me. Either one of them, this is going to go down well for me.
P-5-0-5.
What am I going to do?
You know what's worse about that? Because that would suck, right? If he's eating you alive, like, that would suck. That'd be a terrible thing.
Yeah, it would be bad.
But what would be worse is that me and Justin... couldn't help you.
Yeah.
We would watch.
We'd be crying watching it.
Yeah, we would be praying and watching.
Yeah.
What do you think? I wonder how many like normal sized men that he could just handle and take on his own. Because there's no doubt at least multiple. Like, there's two normal sized men. You're not fucking with him.
He could take on two big normal sized guys at least, maybe up to four.
Mm-hmm.
And he could take on at least, I don't know, 30 to 40.
Imagine getting dogpiled by him?
Yeah.
Like small,
hipsters.
Small people. Yeah. Oh, hipsters, yeah.
Yeah, like you're a pancake.
He could easily fuck up 30
anyway,
or 40
totally
hipsters.
A pancake. He's a super cool guy. He's got a great story. He's got a...
He's a fucking world record holder,
he's
bro.
He's got a rivalry with a British strongman competitor.
Ooh, that's right.
You hear about it in this episode. So we had a lot of fun talking to Robert Oberst. Now, you can find him on Instagram. He's got an awesome Instagram page where you can see him lifting... various objects of massive size. His Instagram page is at Robert Oberst, O-B-E-R-S-T. So here's Mind Pump talking to Robert.
I'm actually just getting ready to head to Houston for like a training camp for World's Strongest Man, and I'll be training at a place called Jet Engine CrossFit.
Now, so when is the strongman competition, the World's Strongest Man?
We don't know the date. It's looking like maybe around April.
April.
And it's always rumors until you get real close. But I know that we have...
What is that? Why would it...
Man,
that's a great question. Yeah,
It's one of those things. They've got their reasons for it. Mostly, I think it's they just don't want people to be out there. They like to hold the results until it comes out on TV.
Oh,
so,
I see.
I mean, it's weird, though, because it's 2017 and
social media.
Everyone knows everything, you know?
It's
going to leak.
You think it's just like an old way and it just hasn't changed over?
Yeah, I think it's that, but that's just my guess, you know? Right. Like, I don't really know. But it just tends to be that way. We get like we went to Africa and I think I had 5 weeks notice, 4.5. Like, literally, I had to get my shots within 2 days or I wouldn't have been able to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you know it's in April, or you think it's in April.
Right.
When do you start training for that?
Well, with Worlds, it's different. Like, normally I wouldn't start specific training until, like, maybe 2.5 months out, about. But Worlds is just, it's so many options. You never know what you're going to do.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, we have prelims and we have finals, and... you know, I mean, it's anybody's guess what the events are.
So when you say specific training, you mean specifically for the events, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So like I'm going to go by what I think's happening and what I know from history and studying it and everything. And, I'm going to train for that. It's always going to be a loading event. It's always going to be a press and, some type of deadlift. We've been doing a lot of squats lately, so I'll be ready for that. Basically, you got to be ready for everything when World Strongest Man comes around. Yeah. And right before that, we have Log Lifting World Championships in London, and I'll be there for that, and I want to break the world record. I have the American record right now.
What is it?
It's 210 kilos. Oh, or 200 shit. And... Fuck, I don't know.
You don't even know your own record.
You don't have to know. You don't have to know. You killed it.
Bro, you don't know your own record. Come on,
it's
bro.
Heavy, right? I remember the way it felt on my chest. That's
oh my
what
God.
I know.
Bro, you ask anybody.
That's how heavy it was.
Yeah, it's heavy.
You just don't even want to remember it.
Once you get that strong, you ask anybody in this room what our PR is for curls.
To the ounce.
He's like heavier than everybody else. That's what I know.
So what does what? How much of your training is the specific type training and how much of it is just focused on like core lifts?
Right now it's 3 days a week core and then one more strongman events, but I'm kind of transitioning into a new idea. I've been doing this for almost 5 years now, and I feel like I've adapted well. I relied a lot on my football training and my strength background from that kind of stuff, so now I'm using more, I guess I feel more like a vet than a rookie anymore. So I'm kind of switching my idea, and I do a little bit more of the, like I'll do stones in the middle of the week and I'll do them on a Sunday, stuff like that. It's kind of sprinkled in more now. So that's a very long way of answering.
What led you to go that direction and start training like that?
I felt like I wasn't getting enough time under the weird stuff, you know, like
there's a lot of skill involved.
Yeah. That's the thing. And you can't mimic a stone really.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. A million zurchers still is not the same as his own.
Exactly. Right. And after I mentioned earlier, I lost like about 75 pounds. And after I did that, I was training for a show in Texas, which I won, by the way. Kicked the shit out of everybody.
Fucking
it was, I was chugging
probably
beers halfway through.
Probably forgot the weights, but I fucked everybody
up. I know it was heavy.
I'm doing more.
It was good, though. There was five events, and by the third event, I walked out in the crowd, and I was taking beers from people with Stone Cold stunning them. You know, I was chugging.
Yeah.
It was good. And so for that show, I switched it up a little bit because I wanted to feel what it was like under my new weight. And stuff is just, you know, when you're running with 1,000 pounds on your back, you want to know what it's going to be like after losing that much weight. So I did it for that show. I came out and crushed it, and I kind of just adapted my training from there.
Why'd you lose the weight?
A couple reasons. First, it was just I was too big. I was 440, wow, and I didn't feel good.
You are a massive human.
Yes. I'm a skinny 365 now. So at the time, I mean, everyone rams it down your throat that you got to be as big as possible to be strong. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea in strongman and in powerlifting, and it got kind of worn into my head that I needed to be as big as I could be. So I would eat everything, and I would, you know, keep my cardio to a minimum, and I did what everyone else said that we should be doing, and it just didn't work for me. I remember I went up on the Arnold stage, and man, when you step up there, there's just thousands and thousands of lights flashing off, going off and everything. This is the second biggest show other than this one I just did in London or in Manchester. This was the biggest show I'd ever done. Get up on that stage and you're elevated over everybody, and I remember taking the steps up the stairs and walking out on the stage, and I was out of breath. And I was like, fuck, man, like this isn't how it's supposed to be. I felt like crap. I didn't perform well. I basically wasn't good with being that heavy.
Yeah.
So that really changed everything. And then I have a 2-year-old son. And so like I'm all about being there and being around and playing with him when he's 15, 16
right.
and all that, you know, like I'm not trying to be tapped out before that. So,
did you recognize that, you know, pushing your body that extreme before that like could be unhealthy for you, and you just knew it, didn't give a fuck anyways? Like, what's your mindset?
That's exactly it. I was willing to do whatever it took. I got to the point where it didn't matter what the end result was for me. It mattered what I had done before then. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't really care, and that changes when you have a kid. It changes when when other things happen in your life and you realize like you are more valuable than the sport in itself, it's a good feeling. Yeah. You know? And so
do you, are there things that you look back and go like, fuck, that was crazy. I was doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at that Arnold specifically, we did a 1600 pound yoke. And I'm not trying to bag on the Arnold, but it's also it's a ridiculous lift, and they cut it out. It's not going to be there this year. And the stage is just, it's not concrete. It's a stage, and it's got rubber mats. So basically, every time you step with 1600 pounds on your back, you sink like a half inch, at least a half inch.
Oh my god!
And that thing is weird.
Oh my god. I remember feeling my spine, like the tail end of my spine, just shifting back and forth as I was stepping. And I'm thinking to myself, like this is probably going to make it to where I'm not going to be able to walk one day, you know? And there's, I think, three or four guys who have legitimately, two of them ended their careers and two of them had to have crazy surgeries just because of that one event.
Whoa.
So it's one of those things that I wish I would have just been like, no, I'm cool. Yeah. I'll skip the Arnold.
Yeah. What about some of the extreme measures you probably had to take to get to put the weight on to be 440?
Dude, it's not that bad for me to get to 440.
Really? You're like, I could just cruise there if I wanted to.
I'm starving myself for 360.
Damn.
I am, man. I'm 10 pounds lighter than I graduated high school right now.
Holy
what?
Shit. Hold on a second. So you've always been ridiculous. Hold on a second. You were 370 pounds in high school?
Like 76 or something like that at the Nike Combine when you go as a senior, like if you get invited, you go and you get measured and weighed and everything, and I was like 376, 377, something like that.
Just a big human.
Just
big, always,
man. No, I mean, I was short and really chubby for a long time, and then over one summer.
Did you get picked on?
Yeah, a lot.
I bet those guys regretted that shit when you went through your growth spurt.
Well, they all kind of just faded away.
Yeah, I bet they did.
They ran for the hills.
Yeah, it was done after that. You know? But over one summer, I was working at a camp, and I came back and I'd grown 7 inches in one fucking summer.
Oh, my God.
So, like, I remember being in my tent and, like, rubbing on my legs and stuff all night because they hurt so bad. But came back and I was awkwardly, all lengthy and stuff for, like, probably 6 months before I caught back up.
Oh, that's crazy.
Wow. What got you into this sport in the first place? I mean, you've done strength sports in the past?
No, I was just football, man.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to be the best at lifting weights. I was trying to be an athlete. And I enjoyed it in the gym. I enjoyed training in the gym with football. I was always one of the stronger guys. And I like to push, like, maxes and different things. One of the things, though, like, we would hang clean instead of deadlift. And so I remember trying to have the biggest hang clean I possibly could, and just loving the idea of being better at it. And then I was done with football, and I was working at a club in Santa Cruz called the Catalyst, which is it's a great
spot. Yeah. Good times there.
I had
you
so
probably
many
took
good
my
stories.
ID there a few times. I'm sure.
Man, I had a blast.
Actually, it's crazy you say that. You do look.
I know. I was gonna say now it's all coming together.
I was usually working the front, or if there was a big artist, I was hanging out in the back with them. Okay. Like I would always be one of those two spots.
Man, you must have seen some cool shows there,
dude.
Huh?
I had more fun than I should have. So much fun. Yeah. It was a good time. So I was there, and there was a buddy of mine from junior college who was an amateur strongman. And he just kept begging me to do it. He was so obsessed. He was so obsessed with strongman. I'm sorry, Evan. I'm going to tell a story.
Throw him
but, yeah, I even said his name. Evan from Santa Cruz, California. Oh, man. He was so obsessed with strongman. Like, he couldn't not talk about it. So there'd be, like, a pretty girl or something at the show come talk to him, which was rare because Evan is an ugly guy. So and he would just talk to him about truck pulls or something. I remember we were in Colorado.
This will get him interested.
We were in Colorado, and it's a rare thing for me to go to a strip club. I think I've only been, like, four times in my life. I just don't see spending money like that.
Yeah, that's what I say, too.
It's a waste of money, man. Yeah. It's like buying water. What are you doing? that's an Ice Cube quote. Don't give me credit. But we were at a strip club, and Evan just looked so uncomfortable. So I bought him a dance, and the girl took him to the private room or whatever. We're all hanging out, and he comes walking out like way too early for it to be over. Way too early. And he just walks past us, and she comes and sits down next to us. And she was talking about, I had no idea Strongman had that much detail to it. She like was like just wowed that he didn't have any interest in anything other than talking about Strongman during the dance.
So he was the first one to probably turn you on to it, I
think. He was. He got me to come in, and day one, I tried the log press and broke the amateur world record.
The first time you attempted it.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was 310 was the record at the time. I don't remember what it was, and I hit like just barely over it and put it down. And I think it might have been novice record. I don't remember. I hit like close to 350 the first time I'd ever touched a log. Mm. I remember putting it down and being like, so was that any good? And he was like, get the fuck out of here. You know? So,
dude, at that point, were you like, oh man, I'm made for this?
Wow, I guess I'm good at this.
Did that switch hit or what?
I was it, man. That was it. I went home and I had to Google it and figure out what it all was about and everything. I never really watched. So I looked it up and studied a lot of tape like I did with football, watched a lot of YouTube, and then I was in, man. I knew I could make it work if I just dove all the way in.
Now, do you handle your own programming, or do you have somebody who does that for you? Like, how does that work?
I do my own programming for the most part. Right now, I'm actually getting help with deadlift. I'm about to head down to Houston to do a training camp for World's Strongest Man, and I'm addressing my weakness, which is deadlift. And I'm getting help from Cale Beck, who runs startingstrongman.com. Mm. And he's been helping me a lot, actually. He's actually been guiding me through a lot of my training stuff whenever I need to transition.
What are you, since he's been teaching you, what are you noticing with your dead? Is it mechanical breakdown somewhere, or what do you notice?
It's just – it's from in my case, it's mostly just I haven't been doing it enough long enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I went from never deadlifting to that day I did that 350 or 340, whatever I did that log, that first time I tried it. I tried to deadlift max as well, and I could barely pull 400. Till fast forward, like, 7 months later, I'm in England, and I pulled 400 kilos. Oh, and, like, it was just too much too quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it wrecked me. My lower back was bad. I pinched a nerve. I pinched my sciatic, and my legs were numb for about 2 weeks, and then it was so bad that I was sleeping in my car because I couldn't lay down. I had a studio in Corralitos, which is, man, if you're ever in Santa Cruz, Corralitos is the spot.
Yeah.
But the meat market, shout out to the best meat in California. But I had a studio, so I didn't have like a chair or anything like that, so I would sit in my truck and sleep at night, and I had to do that for a couple weeks. And I was still training at that time, too. I was getting ready for nationals, so I was still training and doing everything I could.
So you're sleeping in a truck and you're training still for this while your back is all fucked. And numb legs.
Yeah, it was. That's that fuck it, I'm going to do what it takes attitude. That's that shit right there. Mm. I was just not going to fail.
Are you doing like mobility work now and stuff with that?
I do
a
lot of that stuff. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm way more into keeping myself healthy now. There's also this weird thing with strongman and with heavy lifting, this whole like we don't warm up thing.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And at the time, I just listened to people, you know? Like when other people have been successful and you're around them, you're just like, okay, like I'll take what you say and I'll try it. And there's just a lot of bullshit information out there, man. That's one of the reasons I'm doing my best to like kind of promote this new style where you can actually be fit, you can actually warm up, and stretching isn't bad, and cardio is cool, you know.
So talk about more of that. I want to expand on that because this is a lot of what motivated us for our show was what we saw kind of more in the bodybuilding industry. So the bodybuilding industry has the same bullshit. Yeah. All this bro information that's been passed.
And I noticed
down.
The way you're training, and it was so different from the other strongmen I was looking at. And I was like very curious to dive into that.
Shit, I'm the only strongman that's at the level that I'm at that can go hiking and walking. Like none of them can.
It's like everyday shit.
Yeah, easy shit. Like I mean, I hike 4 maybe more times a week. Every time I go anywhere, I find a spot and I do it there too. And I'm not saying like I'm hiking like Kilimanjaro or nothing, but like I'll do 4, 5, 6 miles. Mm-hmm. And I take my time. I don't rush. And I also do hill sprints while I'm doing it too. But
has it all contributed positively to your performance?
For sure. Even just walking around has helped my low back so much. Mm-hmm. So much. Just not being stagnant, you know, just moving around. It's really important. Guys get caught up in routine and comfort, and you know, it becomes a problem, especially when you work as hard as I do. So you got to loosen stuff up.
Now, do you do this full time or
this is it?
Wow,
this
what's it like making a living competing and being in strongman? If somebody came to you and said, "Hey, I want to do it," and earn a living doing it,
I want to do what you do, man.
Oh man.
I'd say have a backup plan, but having a backup plan.
I'd say go pick up a 350-pound fucking log the first day, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But having a backup plan is also a crutch that's going to keep you from getting it anyways. I didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. I was a fucking bouncer for a club doing late night work, trying to figure out what I was going to do with myself because I'd always thought I was going to be an athlete. I didn't have a backup plan. So when it came down to it, I just wasn't going to fail. Like, I had nothing to fall back on, and that's what made me do it. You know, and there's a lot of guys out there who've gone down that road and didn't make it. There's guys who've done better than me, guys who've done worse than me, and never found a way to make it a full-time job. So I'm grateful for that. I fucking earned it. I worked my ass off, but I'm very grateful that things came together the way they did.
How does that work? Is it mostly sponsorships or is it through self-promotion programs? You're selling, you know, coaching?
It's mostly sponsorships. Mm. I do coaching. It's not. I've just started doing the coaching. The thing is about coaching, I've said coaching six times now. Coaching. the thing about that is you people will do that as a money grab and it drives me fucking nuts. Mm. It's the same as the bro science and all that shit. You're just giving out bad information or just template information, which I mean, it's fine if you have templates, but if you're selling templates as coaching, then you're a fucking dick in my opinion.
Right.
You need to actually be able to take the time and watch people work and have an actual conversation and figure out what people need to do to get better. And if you're doing that, then that's fine. But there's just so many people out there that are like, I've got 600 clients. There's no fucking way. You can't even watch 25 people properly. Right. Like, there's no way. No way.
Yeah. That's integrity right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just don't want to be doing to other people what happened to me.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't like that idea. You know, like it's not worth the money. Fuck that. Mm.
Do you think it's changing? Is it changing right now, or do you feel like you're one of the few that are actually preaching that message?
The other thing is I don't pay attention to too much. Like I see people when I go to expos and I pay attention to a little bit. Like my best friend, Kale, the guy who'd helping me with my deadlift, he fucking won't leave me alone telling me what everybody's doing all the time. Like, I have an athlete page on Facebook, so I don't see people's Facebook shit. My Instagram, like I'm very active on there and I follow and I check stuff out, but, a lot of that stuff tends to come from like Facebook or that it's slightly older. It's like a older demographic. It just seems at least in the strength world. And now that I'm thinking about it, as I say it, like there's a ton of guys who do like that type of coaching on Instagram and stuff like that where I would see it. But it's a different. It's not strength.
Right.
Like it's more like an aesthetic type of lifting.
Right.
Do you have any, are there any strongman athletes, past or present, that you kind of like look up to or model yourself after?
Bill Kazmaier.
Fuck, the man.
Bill fucking Kazmaier.
The man. I saw him, I went to an Arnold Classic years ago, he's been way retired, and he fucking folded up a frying pan like it was like it was a piece of paper. I thought that shit was a joke, you know, and he's letting everybody grab it, and I'm like, this is a real frying pan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his hands were like, he just...
He's the man, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'd be cool with me sharing this. He and I actually, we got along great, and then we had like a disagreement about something I don't remember. And we had a conversation like 4 or 5 months after this disagreement. And we're both very straightforward, I'll say. We're very straightforward. That's what I loved about him. Like, you watch his old shit, and it makes me want to fucking punch the wall or something. Yeah. Like, I love that stuff. So he was, he and I both had kind of a disagreement, and it was a few months later, and he came up to me and spoke to me. I was around people. I was in Expo. He came up to me, and he was like, "Hey, man, I just want to talk to you about this. I felt this is what's going on," and we talked about it. Like it was 1965 and real men still existed. And it was the coolest thing that I'd ever seen somebody of that stature do. And like, I was like, I was blown away. I was fucking blown away. He didn't care that people were standing around. He didn't care that he was, I mean, who am I compared to Bill Kazmaier? Like, right. It's not like he was coming over to fucking
stand up guy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Stand up dude, like a real man. That's
cool.
I was so impressed. And I would be very proud to represent America the way he has.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Fuck yeah. Is there anybody in your family that was just real strong? I mean, you've got to get these genes from somewhere.
I've got 10 siblings. And
holy cow. Shit. Wait. 10 siblings? So there's 11 kids?
Well, now there's 11. Growing up, there was 9. So, yes, there's 11 now. I'm number 8. And no,
there was that much food left over to feed you.
Eat the rest of them.
Dude, we never had money, but we grew up going to church and stuff, so we would get church food. So we were stock full of food all the time. But like, I remember there was a big part of our life where we were very, very poor.
Like the knockoff Fruit Loops and shit like that.
Oh man, the knockoff Fruit Loops, the cans, the stuff that dude. Say like Deseret Food Industries, on, yeah. You know, all that shit. Yeah. I was well fed, but there was 10 of us and none of them were really big. My brother Dave was a wrestler, like actual wrestling, and he was, I'm sure, a little bit bigger than average. I don't know. It's hard for me to. Are you
that much bigger than everybody else?
I'm way bigger than everybody.
Really?
Way bigger. Yeah, it's not even close.
Out of that many kids, not one other one is
so
like,
not mom, dad, grandpa, dad, uncle, aunt.
Dad's got a thick chest. He's a little bit shorter than average. Mom's tiny. It's what it is, I think. I mean, is my,
what do you like my Zeus mom's, came down?
Exactly. Maui. You know? I could sing the whole song too. I got a 2-year-old. I know all of the songs from Moana. But my dad's dad was thick, like barrel chested farmer guy. And then my mom's dad was tall, and I think I just got both of those genes somehow.
Best of both.
Wow.
I guess. Yeah. Wow.
That's pretty crazy, that many siblings.
Man, yeah.
Now, what was that like growing up? You guys get along a lot? Did you fight a lot when you were little? What was it like growing up? Are you still close?
It was a mix. I mean, it was never fighting like real fighting. It was just brother-sister stuff.
Right.
But yeah, we're all very close. The thing about growing up like that, when you have no money and you have 10 siblings, is you just, you learn how
bond
to
together.
Yeah, you survive. Bond, and it becomes like, you develop that part of you that's creative, that's going to keep you entertained or keep you like growing, building, whatever we would do. Like, cause you know, like we didn't have not only was there not really like games and stuff like there is now, but we didn't even have electricity for a lot of the time. So, I mean, we'd just be outside trying to fucking create stuff.
Kick a can.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
we literally played kick the can all the fucking time. Oh,
yeah. It was a compact car for him.
we had a minivan that didn't work. And I don't know if this sounds so stupid, but we would literally, we had a driveway because we lived behind an orchard. We had a driveway that was like maybe 2 blocks long. And we would take turns steering while someone else would push down the driveway. And we would just go back and forth, man. I think that's the first exercise I ever got was pushing the car up and down the driveway.
So. That's excellent. So I want to ask you, nutrition-wise, because every time I look at Strongman, I look at the nutrition, I imagine myself like they got to be
like
eating
20, 50,
a tremendous amount of calories. Yeah. How much were you eating when you were up at 440 pounds?
I went
were
to
you tracking?
20. I went to for a little while. We
Wait,
even did
20?
A
what?
Yeah, 20,000.
Damn,
holy
I was
shit.
Just joking.
No, we
for
did a
reals?
Video. We did a video for Vice about it, and I did that for a short while.
You legit ate 20,000 calories a day? What does that look like? Like, what is that?
I mean, it depends on what I'm eating that day. It's not that big of a deal, really. Like, it depends on what you put down.
I can't do that 5 days, dude.
No, but
so, like, what would breakfast be? Like, give me a rundown of a typical.
I want to hear this.
Probably like 10 eggs ish, maybe a little bit more than I don't know. I would always have some kind of carb with it. Like, I basically just ate what I wanted, and then if I didn't eat enough, I would throw more on at the end of the day. So, like, just a bunch of eggs, whatever kind of toast. I had this pasta that I made for that Vice show that I would eat all the time, which is like a family recipe, which is just this big bowl of pasta with a bunch of different types of meat and types of like go half pasta sauce or red sauce and half salsa, stuff like that. Or the French bread, which the recipe is literally just mayonnaise and cheese over the top. And you put that in the oven, it tastes amazing. Like, it's just as bad as
mayonnaise and cheese.
But it tastes so fucking good, man. It's so good.
It's not hard to get to 20,000 calories when you
hold on. So when you when you're dieting down, would you go down to like 15,000?
Oh no, no. I dropped, dude. I went keto for 4 weeks. And then now I don't know the exact number, but I'm guessing I'm right around 5-ish.
Okay.
I have a nutritionist. Nathan Payton does my nutrition.
Okay.
And he's phenomenal. Like, especially because I'm kind of hard-headed and nitpicky about stuff with that. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted it to be very specific, and I wanted it to be something that I could travel with because I'm on the road so much. So, we dialed it in, and it's working really
now,
well.
How's digestion when you're eating that many calories and stuff? Because it sounds, I mean, you have to be able to digest all that food.
Yeah,
too.
I never really had a problem. I mean, lately I've been switching back and forth between regular whey protein and plant protein. Mm-hmm. I work with GAT supplements. So like,
John
get
Jones
spoiled.
Is a part of that too,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
I thought so.
So I get spoiled. I get spoiled with like the best stuff, mm-hmm. and like it's. Dude, you could never ask for a better pre-workout than NitroFlex. You guys take pre-workouts?
No, I haven't. Yeah, no, why? No? No.
Oh, man. Next time you want one, I'll hook you up.
All right, send it over.
I'm telling you, that stuff.
I'll take one quarter of the dose. Yeah.
So like, I get spoiled. I have the supplements. So, like, I do, like, whey protein in the morning, and then halfway through the day, I switch to plant protein. And the plant proteins really help me with digestion and everything mm-hmm. else, too. I've also started doing more, like, kombucha and stuff like that, trying to make it
help that gut a little bit, huh?
I mean,
what are some of the things that you noticed when you went from, you know, mayonnaise cheese bread to now like really honing in?
I was way less happy at first. I wish I could eat that food and still weigh 360, but no, when I went keto, it was cool. I could tell things were working. 3 weeks in, I was freaking out. I was like,
why?
Because my body was just like, what the fuck, you know? I remember I was at the Anaheim Fit Expo, and I do expos all the time where I'm meeting people and it's cool, and I'm great. I'm easy to get along with. I love like meeting people. We have a blast. But I was like just being a dick. I just couldn't shake it. I was so irritable. And I just couldn't shake it. And I called up my nutritionist and I was like, what the fuck are you doing to me? I'm on the road right now. I can't be like this, you know? Like, so did it about another week, ended up doing it for a month and then came back. So right now I don't do that many carbs still. I do like one uncooked cup of rice a day. That's about it.
Wow. Isn't that great how the body can perform well with all these different varieties
once you,
and shit?
Once you make it adjust, your body's a great machine.
Yeah.
Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you just got to tell it what to do and then just make it fucking do it.
Mm.
Like everyone kept telling me how I was going to lose strength when I was doing this. And everyone was just basically writing me off. And I just was like, nah, I made myself go to the gym. I made myself do everything the same way. And my numbers weren't great at first. It took me about 3 months to figure it back out. And now I'm stronger than ever. We did the show.
Stronger and lighter. That's fucking
faster.
I mean, you can't beat
my
that.
Cardio's better.
Yeah, you can't beat that. That's amazing.
So much better. We did this show in Manchester, Giants Live, the finals for World Strongest Man, Giants Live World Tour, which is, I'm sure that's not exactly what it's called, but, we did that, and I PR'd on everything. We did a 340 log, or it might have been 330. We did a 340-ish log for reps, 60 seconds. I did it 7 times.
Jeez.
Wasn't even out of breath afterwards.
Yeah.
Just put it down.
I was going to say the endurance must be a big advantage.
It's so big. Yeah, because like
all we do our shows. All guys are gassing out and everything.
Everyone else is like huffing and puffing and done, and I'm walking around pacing. I literally did that. Walked over to the crowd, took a beer from the guy in the front row and drank it, and I just kept talking shit. I was letting England know that America was there to take it. He gave me the microphone, and
what did you say?
He said, "No, I took the microphone actually." He said, "The guy said something about what do I think about England?" And I was like, "Well, I love England. I just can't stand the weather, the food, or the people." You should have heard 12,000 people.
Oh my God.
They were so mad. The best. I went to do the Stones at the end, and
we got fish and chips, man. Dude,
they use breakfast ham instead of bacon. Come on, it's 2017, people. So we were about to do the Stone run, and have our back to the crowd, and they introduce me. They say, "And you know, coming out of America, Robert Oberst." And I just put my hand like this. Everyone listening can see it, I'm sure. And I put my hand up, and I just hear 12,000 people just hating me, screaming. And like right now, I'm getting goosebumps.
And you loved it.
Yeah. I fucking loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
That's the best.
I'll take that. I'll take that all day. And I turn around. We ran through those stones, and I PR'd on everything. I'm one motion to 380 stone. Wow. Like, didn't even lap it. Just put it up. And then ran through everything. Finished the last stone. Was like between 4 and 420. I don't remember. Then I turned around and walked towards the crowd and just like putting my hands out, just screaming at them.
I was just going to ask you, so is that the most memorable win or moment you've had?
Yeah, so far that was the best, man. It was. There's been a lot of great moments along the way, and I've had way too much fun. But to do that in front of that kind of crowd, it was great.
I bet you were just jacked.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Man. Do you do any auxiliary work? Is that part of strongman training? Things like, you know, curls and tricep?
Sure.
Really? Okay.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you have – curls are probably the most neglected for me, but I do them just to make sure they don't tear. It's like – guys tear
that's kind of common, bicep. Isn't it?
Oh, super common.
Well, especially on the stone. The first time I picked a stone up, actually what I noticed more than anything else was the strain on my bicep.
Yeah.
Out of everything else, not my back.
Probably
my
because you're not used to that much tension at that extension,
exactly.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
And it's a weird way of squeezing it. You're like, you know that like super hug machine at the gym where you're squeezing it together? Pec deck or whatever?
Yeah.
The super hug machine.
Super hug.
That thing right there, that's like awesome. Those muscles are a lot of how you pick it up off the ground too. Like there's just a lot of weird little intricacies about with strongman that you wouldn't really think about, like the biceps and the stones. Or when you're cleaning an axle, and you got to go over underhand. Like, I don't know if the listeners, like, if I could just say over under. Or whatever.
Yeah, that's fine.
But so if you got to go over under and you're going to continental clean it, when you pop it up, man, that thing gets over 330, 340. Like, that's a big bicep curl.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So I do stuff to keep safe there. And triceps, man, triceps have got to be strong. So a lot of stuff. I do upper back 3 times a week. There's, you know, hamstrings cannot be done enough. You got to hit everything.
If someone were to enter or want to enter into strongman, what would you say that they would need? Like, you know, someone says, "Hey, I want to do strongman." What could they look for in themselves to see if this is something they can do?
Well, it all depends on their goal and what they want to do with it. But there's a lot of tips on training and how to train, even if you don't have equipment. And there's a map with like every gym location in America and more. I think it's like all across the globe. It's all on startingstrongman.com.
Okay.
Like you can learn how to practice stones with rubber plates or different things like that. How to practice yoke if you don't have a yoke or log, all that kind of stuff. And honestly, it's just like anything else. You just go have some fun, figure it out. Like I've never heard of anyone doing a strongman show for the first time and not having a blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never heard of that. I got my ass kicked the first time I competed, and I had a blast, man. I got like 7th out of 9 or some shit.
Yeah. Do you look at some people, though, and go like, you couldn't, genetically?
If they – it's hard. You're saying,
I don't
want to
be mean.
Well, I mean, if you're saying like they want to be the best in the world and they're 4'9", then maybe they're going to have a hard time. But like – if you want to just do the sport and be the best you can, everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. And and the other thing is Vytautas Lawless is from Lithuania. Man, I want to say he's like 5'5", 5'6". Like he's tiny. And he got second place. He was in first place the World Strongest Man for the last event.
There?
You got to fucking do it. Like he would pop it up
probably amazing.
And like almost hold it there with his head
vertically
and then
jump it.
Push it up over.
Wow.
Just if you guys want to see somebody not letting their height hinder them, you can look up Vytautas Lawless.
You know, so years ago, I've always been into, you know, exercise. Obviously, I've been in fitness for a long time. And my goals initially were aesthetic, but I always liked strength. I admired strength. And I read a book, I want to say
you're messing up already. You shouldn't be reading books.
Yeah. Not good for strongman.
Idiot.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
No, this jackass over here reading books.
You got to lift weights, son.
I'm just playing.
But there was a book called Dinosaur Training, I think it was called. Dinosaur Training by Kubrick, I think is his last name.
Yeah.
And he talks about all these odd lifts and stuff. And so I started doing some more reading on
strongman training from back in the day and current stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I started applying some of it to my own training. And I had no intentions in wanting to compete in strongman. But I noticed like muscle building effects. I noticed aesthetic building effects. And there's a lot people can learn from some of the ways you guys train, even if someone just wants to look better.
Yeah.
You know, if they want bigger back or bigger.
Well, a stone lift has to be one of the most functional things that we can do as a human being, because if anything, I've never squatted with something on my back.
Right.
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 But I sure as shit picked up a lot of shit up off
and
the ground.
Balanced perfectly.
Right.
Yeah. It's never worked out like
farmers
that.
Carries, farmer stuff. That's super huge.
I do it all the time. I love farmer carry. Yeah.
So, just think about what a farmer's does. Like, my traps are huge because of farmers. Right. My shoulders are built because of log press. Like, it works. And it's also, it's fun. Like, when you've been training for any amount of time, it's like it gets tedious. And you're like,
same lift, barbell row.
But you go out there and you're like, oh, today I'm going to try and throw up a log or I'm going to try and pick up these stones. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. It's fun. It's different.
One thing you messed with any of the Celtic games or got into that at all?
I did. I did one. I won a show in Vegas that qualified me for Giants Live about 3 years ago and got hammered that night. The next morning, woke up, and they were having a Highland Games show like 2 blocks from the hotel. I was like, fuck it. Yeah, let's go do it. And I was beat up and still drunk. Did it. Went out there. And everyone's drinking during the show, too. Like, Highland Games, they know how to get down, man. They get down.
Yeah.
So went out there.
We're a drinking culture.
I won every single event handily, like ridiculous. And I would throw the weight and then have to hold my hip with my hand to hobble out there to get it. And I smashed, dude. It was a blast.
That's awesome.
So I'm actually thinking about going to Redding, California in February. I believe it's February 7th. I'm going to go up there, do a show. It's kind of strongman Highland Games mix. And the winner gets to go to Norway. So I think I'm going to go do that.
Oh, that's cool.
Awesome.
I'd love to check that out.
So,
awesome. So
moving forward, like, what's in the future for you, man? What are you looking at?
Next up, man, Log World Championships in London. I'm going to kick Eddie Hall's ass, and then I'm going to go to
calling
man.
Him out.
Oh, he knows it. He's been hiding already, man. I tried to get him to come out for Manchester. He talked a bunch of shit, and then he knew he was going to get smashed, so he pulls out. He does the log, and then he pulls out. Dude, he's wrapped up and done, and he just won't admit it. So
now I feel like you have a great like attitude about, you know, when you do it. I feel like you're not being vindictive or talking shit or down to somebody.
Oh,
I'm
talking shit. I'm definitely talking shit.
How do these guys receive it?
Don't you fool?
How do these guys receive it?
Don't be fooled.
Oh man, most people are cool with it. There's definitely a lot of people that don't.
Do
like
you poke
it.
Harder at the ones?
Oh,
that,
for sure.
Oh yes.
I've got 10 siblings, man. Like, oh yeah. If you show discomfort in what I'm saying, I'm gonna
see,
say
you would
it more,
do good in wrestling, man. Yeah.
I know. I would. We actually, I had a meeting. We spoke with Vince McMahon a while ago. We talked about it, and it just hadn't come together. So it might it might in the future. Mm-hmm. My buddy is doing it now. Adam Scheer. He's Braun Strowman in WWE, and he's doing great. So
nice.
We'll That's see. Cool. That's something I wanted to do as a kid. I wanted to do that growing up. If they would have got a hold of me before, like I was like 21, I would have done whatever they said.
Wow!
But it just never came together.
So. Well, that's awesome, man. Thanks for coming on the show, bro.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
that's fucking awesome. It's that, you know, every time I'm around someone that's as big as you are, it's, it just makes me realize that humans are not all the same. There's like different categories of human stuff.
Yeah.
But,
big and tall store shoppers.
Exactly. But yeah, we appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, dude, we'll absolutely do this again. And you got to make sure
when you come
and
visit, you got to come visit us, man. Up
in
San
Diego. Definitely. I'll be there, man.
Lift
I need
all
to come
of our
home.
Weights. Yeah. Yeah. All once. Yeah.
We don't have enough for you.
Yeah, we don't. We're going to have to order.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
All right, well, check it out. Go to YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Mind Pump TV. We post a new video every single day. We also offer 30 days of coaching for free at mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs.
With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.